If you love the world of film and TV, then you've come to the right place. This is Reel to Reel, a podcast where film and conversation meet. Whether it's in front of the camera or behind the scenes, there's so much we can talk about. Grab your popcorn, dim the lights, and join us for this episode of Reel to Reel. Here's your host, Sergio Barrera.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Reel to Reel. My name is Sergio Barrera, and I thank you once again for joining us as we combine film and conversation and see where that road takes us. As you guys know from the first two episodes, this being episode three, this show is really just about me and friends getting together to talk about movie-related things. And my guest this week, I am very excited to have on the Reel to Reel. Her name is Anise. Many of you in the roller derby world know her as Dainty. And Dainty, Anise, I think we'll just split the two throughout the show. Thank you so much for being on Reel to Reel this week.
Hey, guys. Yes, my pleasure. It's always fun to chat about, especially about something I'm really passionate about, which is Disney movies. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and like you said, this week we'll be talking about Disney movies, and there's quite a few things we can talk about, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. But before we get started, I'm curious. I myself have been in the roller derby world for about 8 years now as an announcer, as many people know, and I go by the moniker of Piggy Fatness. Tell us a little bit, if you would, for those who are listening in and may not know, tell us a little bit about your derby background.
Oh, you're going to make me date myself? Okay. I actually started roller derby like 6 or 7 years ago. I don't know. I haven't like really kept track. But I started in Grace Harbor, which is a tiny little town in Washington. And my friend at the gym asked me if I wanted to help start a team. And so that was back in 2011. And so it didn't really like take off super big where I lived because it was such a small town. So I traveled to Olympia and started skating with a little rec league there, but it just wasn't like hard enough. So I joined the Ole Rollers, and that was kind of a little bit after they were like the top team, you know, in Wooftada. But yeah, ever since then I've been skating and I just love it. Like skates on my feet is like joy, you know?
Yeah. Well, you sort of hit the nail on the head earlier when you talked about how we love to talk about our passions. And, you know, for as much as roller derby is a passion to both of us, in conversation over the last few weeks, you and I have discovered that we love movies as well, and we have a big passion for film and such. So I think, you know, that same passion kind of carries through into different things, not just roller derby, but also the other things we pour our life into. So I'm excited to see where this conversation goes, because when we talk about the topic of Disney movies, there's so many different directions we can take. But before we settle in to that, I have to ask you, I wanted you to put yourself in, you know, the scenario of you're about to go see a movie. You know, what is your ritual? Do you have a, you know, a food ritual or a prep ritual that you go through as you prepare to enjoy a movie at the theater?
Oh, every time I like always last minute need to grab snacks. So I usually go to the dollar store, and I hate wearing purses, honestly, but like it's the only time I'll like wear one so that I can hide all my snacks in it. Or I'll wear like a really big baggy sweatshirt, because I want to be comfortable, but I also can hide snacks in it. So I usually get I got to have chocolate. I need some sort of like chip / like caramel corn. And then as far as something to drink, like I usually just get something to drink there, because I don't want to look like I'm totally just moving in with my lunchbox sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Definitely candy, lots of candy. What about you? What do you bring?
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, for the most part, I live with a lot of what I call Catholic guilt from my past. And so I'm not able to, I've never been brave enough to bring my own stuff in. And, you know, so there I go, you know, I'm all about, you know, movie gift cards, or, you know, I have a discount portal at work that I can actually get movie tickets off of at a pretty, you know, big discount. And so I try to, you know, take advantage of that because I know that by the time I get to the theater, my money is going to be spent on popcorn and drinks and stuff. And so I need to get a little braver at bringing my own stuff in because I'm listening to what you're saying, thinking that would really make things a whole lot better. So from a cost standpoint, but for me, it has to be definitely popcorn, movie popcorn for me. I don't know what it is.
Do you get butter?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
yeah.
Okay,
no, okay. I have to. Yeah,
I just
it's
need
gotta
to see
be
where we sit as friends.
Yeah, no, it has to be like loads of butter, and I've yet to find the theater that can do it right. I've heard of all kinds of hacks and stuff, but you know, I go to a couple of theaters here in town, and I'm sure this is not, you know, this is I'm sure far common, you know, a big common thing, but you know, they hand you the popcorn after they've put butter on it, and then they have butter stations, you know, as you walk away from the concession area, and I look at the butter station because it pours out, you know, a stream of this, you know, probably so
liquid
unhealthy butter substance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
liquid
and
gold.
I always think to myself, yeah, I'm looking at going there. It's not hitting the bottom, man. There's just no way that the butter is getting to the bottom. Yeah.
No.
So,
well, don't they do it in layers? They do it in layers sometimes. They'll do like a little popcorn and then butter and then a little more popcorn and then butter. Not everybody does it, but
no.
I've seen it happen.
I have not yet seen that unicorn. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, everywhere I go, they. Yeah. And you know, the other thing is.
Staring at her putting the butter with my ratio judging eyes. Like,
right.
On those.
Yeah. Well, and the thing for me is the place I like to go most, they actually have obviously various sizes. And so I always try to get sort of the mid-range size because, you know, for me, I don't know about you, but I eat my popcorn and find that I'm pretty much done with it before the movie even starts. Like,
my hands
it never
already
lasts.
In it when they're handing it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're handing me the popcorn, my hands already in it.
Yeah, well, for me, temperature is an issue. It's like, you got to eat it while it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're
so,
right. You have a point there.
Yeah, so in addition to popcorn, it's got to be either Sour Patch Kids, and it all depends on my mood, or I like Raisinets for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, my God, I love them, too. No, they're so good.
And I don't know about where you are, but it seems to be like the only place I can find it is a theater.
I get them at the dollar store sometimes. And I love Junior Mints. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Junior Mints and Raisinets, like, they probably taste good together.
Oh, man, yeah. Might have to try that. What about drink? Drink size? Is that an issue?
I didn't really like the Icy's ever. I don't know. I was never a fan of them. Like, if I could bring... Yeah. Like a Gate. I usually get like a Gatorade or a water or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of simple when it comes to drinks.
Yeah. I'm the guy that's like trying to balance everything and then my phone because my phone has my ticket. Yeah. Ever since they started the apps and stuff for Fandango and whatever, you have to, there's no more paper tickets, you know, if you're doing it online, which is what I prefer. And so there I am balancing my popcorn, my drink, and then I've got to hold my phone very awkwardly. It's a whole thing.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I can picture that happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as we begin our talk tonight on Disney movies and the impact that they've had on our lives and kind of what our viewpoints are, let's just start with, you know, what is it that Disney movies for you do? You know, why are they a genre of movie that you are interested in? And let's each share our thoughts and kind of have that be our starting point.
I kind of feel like what I can remember when I was little is the color of like the imagery, you know, like the colors they used and like the animals and like the cuteness. And I wasn't really like into princesses growing up. Like, they were cool, whatever, like, they were pretty. Like, I didn't want to be a princess. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the animals and things like that. That's what drew me to Disney.
Yeah.
Really.
Growing up, I was one of six kids, and so Disney movies were quite common, you know, in my household over the years. And I think I'm the one that, as I've grown older, I've gotten away from sort of being attracted to them initially. And in fact, there was a phase in my life where I resisted just about every single animated movie that came out until I was finally at some point forced to see each one. And then, of course, I came out of each one of them going, oh, my God, that was fantastic. Like, I remember fighting tooth and nail against going to see The Lion King when it first came out. And I wasn't interested. And then I went, and I'm like, this is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen in my life, at least at that point.
It was so sad, too, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, and okay, so let me ask you this. Isn't there a point in each Disney movie where you think to yourself, this is really dark? Like, it's gotten really dark. You think all the way back to Bambi.
I don't think this was a Disney movie, but as a child, it scared the crap out of me. It was called Watership Down, and it reminded me of Disney, so I watched it, but it's literally, like, carnage and blood and, like, rats killing each other, and that was, like, I remember thinking, oh, my God, animals do die. Like, even though it was a cartoon, it was just, like, whoa, you know, like, kind of reality hits when you're a kid, but... Yeah, some of Disney, and even before I was born, you know, Disney was making movies, but some of them were just, they're a little messed up, like, racially and all sorts of stuff. So if they've come a really long way since I've been around. I haven't been around that long, but some of them are really dark, like The Lion King, you know, when he, spoiler alert, he loses his dad. You know, like, it's just so sad how Scar lets him go, and then Simba thinks he was the one that did it, and it's just so sad, especially when you're a kid, you know, you're just like, oh, that poor, you know, even though it's a cartoon, you still feel for it, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an entire, I guess... This genre has the ability, and it's done so for years and years now, has the ability to strike emotional chords in all of us. You know, I have occasion to talk about Disney and the Disney history as part of my work, you know, in the work that I do. And one of the things that we talk about is how the Disney experience is universal. It's one of the only brands that everyone more than likely has a connection to in some way, shape, or form. And when I think of the films, you know, whether you've been to a Disney park or not, you probably have a story that's tied to a Disney film, something that's like an emotional connection. Do you find that to be the case?
You know, in a couple years ago when I was in China competing for roller derby, I went to Disneyland there, and that was the first time I've ever been to Disneyland, and it was so funny because when I'd go on the rides, everything was in Mandarin, you know, so I didn't understand what, you know, Jack Sparrow was saying because he was speaking Mandarin, but yeah, it still made me, you know, it brought me back to when I watched the movie, you know, certain catchphrases or, you know, just seeing certain images or, you know, it was cool. I wish I would have gone when I was younger. It probably would have been way more fun, but it still was a really good time. But yeah, I like seeing like the people dressed up as them in the costumes, because the costumes are actually pretty good that they make there. But that was a whole nother experience other than watching the movie. So I really liked going. I would go again.
Yeah. For myself, when it comes to Disney movies, I think back over the history of my life, and there are certain movies that do resonate, you know, in different ways. You know, I remember, for example, there was a point in my life where I had never watched The Little Mermaid all the way through. I was only familiar with it because at the time that it came out on video, it was quite a few years ago. This would have been more than 20 years ago. My niece was two at the time, my niece Jordan, and who actually lives up in the Seattle area. And she, as when she was a baby, my mom would be her babysitter. And so Jordan would come over in the mornings, and I remember very distinctly every morning just about would begin
every morning
with, her wanting to watch The Little Mermaid. So she and I would sit down, and we would get as far as the first song, and she would hum along. And it was, you know, for me, it was cool to see her enjoy herself. But then, you know, as most children do at about that age, they lose interest, and now it's time to go play or do something else, right? So for the longest time, the only stretch of The Little Mermaid I had ever watched was the first song, like through the first song. And so years later, she graduates from high school, so I make the trip up to Seattle to watch her graduate. And I couldn't resist. The graduation gift I gave her was a DVD of The Little Mermaid. And what was awesome is she remembered, like she connected back to it and said, oh man, this took her way back to remember those days of, you know, watching it together, but not quite watching it together, the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I finally got to
That's
see it all
so
the
awesome.
Way through. Yeah. And so, it, you know, Disney movies have that ability to really strike a chord. In your history of watching them, is there a movie like that that, you know, stands out to you for a reason of that type?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know. You first. You go first.
Well, I know in addition to Little Mermaid, I think the one other movie, and this was after Pixar became part of Disney, the one movie that I can tell you really, really hits home with me, it's because I'm a huge foodie and a huge, you know, I love to cook and stuff, is Ratatouille. Like,
oh,
I don't know if you've
good.
Seen that one.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen Ratatouille.
I can watch that one over and over.
Yum.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs at first. But I don't know.
I don't know if that's
a
Disney
one,
but
no,
yeah,
it's not.
No, but
I think it's Pixar.
It is a good one. It is a good one. But yeah, Ratatouille for me, I think as an adult is really one. And that's the thing is that as an adult, I tend to sort of, like I said, kick and scream against seeing Disney movies or really, you know, they're not my first pick, but I know when Ratatouille came out, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the food that is plated on in the final scene, the Ratatouille itself, that dish, it's actually the hands of one of my all-time favorite chefs, Chef Thomas Keller out of Napa Valley. He is the proprietor of a place out there called the French Laundry. He created the dish, and actually it's his hands that are filmed putting it together as they plate it at the end before it goes out to, you know, the credit ego. Yeah, so it was his movements that were tracked and then animated. And so it's actually his dish that he created, and it's his movement that was animated there for that scene. And so that's a really cool little tidbit for me. And so, yeah, that would have to be a movie that I think as an adult really continues to resonate with me and is one of my favorites.
I mean, honestly, I remember being at my grandma's house, and she had this, like, little, like, video case holder, you know, for your VHSs. And I remember she would get, like, a new one every once in a while, and I would pick, you know, which one I wanted to watch. And I think Bambi is one that kind of resonates with me because, like, as much, it was a little traumatizing for me because, like, usually the movies that I was watching, you know, nothing ever bad happened, you know. So when I watched Bambi and you know, Bambi's mom got shot, like, that was kind of like a wake-up call for me, you know, like, oh, you know, like, the world's not all freaking rainbows and sunshine, you know, like, bad things happen and parents get killed and kids, aka, you know, baby deers get, you know, stuck by themselves. And so that was, like, kind of, like, for me, like a whoa. You know, damn you, Disney, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Also, Pinocchio was kind of like one of those movies too, where I was like, wait, what? Like, now that I watch it growing up, I'm like, that, what? How did I not think that was messed up when I was younger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
like
that tends
to
be the
island,
pattern.
Going to that island, smoking the cigars, like, what?
Yeah. No, it's one of those, again, that's one of the trends I see in the movies of Disney, is they have a lot of great lessons. There's a lot of good messages, you know, messaging that comes out of them. But the characters go through, in almost every case, they go through some sort of traumatic experience. Or, you know, there are resolutions that aren't always, and they lived happily ever after for everybody in the movie,
yeah.
You know? So, mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a pattern that works, you know, year after year. Disney has continually won, you know, Academy Awards for animated movies, you know, just consistently. And so, you know, the formula that they use obviously is one that works and one that is impactful. Can you think of a Disney movie that when you watched it, you thought, yeah, no, didn't like it. I can do without it.
I mean, there's some that like, I just didn't really like look appealing to me. I wouldn't necessarily say like, oh, that was, like, a bad movie. I didn't like it. I would say it's usually probably, like a second or third version of the original movie. But probably just
okay.
Because, like, I'm an original, you know, usually like the original. So I'd say probably, I can't think of one off the top of my head, to be honest.
So anything that's a sequel, you mean?
Yeah, like, typically I feel like it's not the same. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, Toy Story 2 was okay. I just really loved the first Toy Story.
Yeah.
So it was hard to... The Incredibles, that was one that I was like, it's okay. I wasn't, like, a super big fan of it.
Yeah.
It didn't really... Mary Poppins, the old one, I really liked.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the new one.
Right. Disney does this thing sometimes, and they did it with Mary Poppins here recently, where I think they try to create the experience for like the current generation. But
mm-hmm.
for me, it sort of falls into that realm where you're messing with what is a classic that stands alone and stands the test of time. I mean, I remember, Mary Poppins came out even before I was born. And so I remember growing up as a kid, getting to watch it on Sunday nights when they would show it on, you know, when they would have Disney movies on ABC on Sunday evenings. And it's a classic. I mean, there's just no other word for it. And then when they released mm-hmm. the recent one, it was just, you can hear my cat in the background because he loves Disney movies too. But I didn't see it.
If your cat has a favorite Disney movie,
what's
you
that?
Need to pick a favorite Disney. What would your cat's favorite Disney movie be?
Oh, well, his name is Steve the Pirate, so he likes all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So he's
my
one-eyed
awesome.
Cat. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But,
do you have a patch for it?
Oh, no. You know what? I need to get one for him.
Oh, my God. I'm sure Amazon has them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So for me, to the question of movies that, like, I know I'm going to get all kinds of reaction for this. And, you know, my I love trolling people. So I could not finish Lilo and Stitch.
You know. Oh, yeah. Something about
I don't know what it was.
Blue guy, though. People love him.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
some reason, people just love that guy.
Yeah. One thing I do want to talk about and get your opinion on is this recent trend over the last few years that Disney does in now recreating all of these classics into live action films. A few years back for my other podcast show, a couple of years, I had to review the live action Beauty and the Beast. And I had to, unfortunately, at that time, admit that I'd never seen the original. And so I, of course, felt like I can't watch the live action one if I haven't seen the original and then give it a good, you know, give it a review that can be complete. Plus, I have a friend, my friend Erin Guajardo at work. That's a shout out to her. She is obsessed with Beauty and the Beast. And so she says, you got to see the original. You can't just watch the live action. And so I watched the original. And I got to say, I was entertained. I get it. The music is great. And it's a very entertaining movie. But then I watched the live action film. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I don't know that I wanted a shot-for-shot remake in live action, you know, form of a movie like Beauty and the Beast. Because if you're familiar with the film, the whole Be Our Guest sequence in animated form, in cartoon form, was overwhelming. And then, you know, I've never done a drug in my life, but I had a feeling as I watched the live action version and saw that scene, I'm like, I think this is what it might be if I took LSD. So I don't know. How do you feel about the live action trend?
You know, I get what they're trying to do. I feel like they're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit about new content. So I think this is kind of a way for them to try to make money, but still kind of keep people's love for the movies by doing it.
Yeah.
Some of them, like Christopher Robin with Pooh Bear and stuff, I haven't watched that. Pooh Bear looks super cute in it, so I really need to watch it. But I did see that Aladdin was either out or coming out.
Yeah, it's out.
It is out. Okay, Mulan, though, that one looks super, super cool. I would totally watch that. She looks like a badass. In it, she's not trying to look like a guy. Is that right? Like, she's just still going to be a woman and fight? Is that what it is?
That's the impression I got from the trailer. I could be wrong.
Okay, that's what I thought too. And then there's no Mushu, so I was a little bummed about that. But, like, I kind of get that it's not, like, he's a dragon, so it's not like a real animal. I don't know if that's why they didn't do it, but.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite characters, so that makes me a little sad.
Well, and sometimes I wonder if, you know, maybe, because whenever we see first trailers, they don't necessarily show everything to us right away. So when you said that, I know my first thought was like, I wonder if maybe it's a possibility they're just not going to give it all away yet, you know?
Because that's going to be next year.
Yeah. So time will tell. So you mentioned a couple of classics, Pinocchio. You know, we talked about The Little Mermaid. As you think about the Disney movies that you've enjoyed, are you more for the later Disney films, say from Lion King on, or do you have a love for the classics as well, like Snow White, Cinderella, and such?
You know, I do like Snow White and Cinderella. I do. They're not, I wouldn't say they're my favorites, but
yeah.
I just never was really that much into the princesses. Like, I didn't really see Ariel as a princess, really. She was a mermaid to me. So I always really loved her. But, growing up, I just didn't really, like, I didn't play with Barbies or anything like that. So I didn't really connect too much with that part. Like I said, I loved the animals and stuff like that. But, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. And, you know, as I look over the filmography of the Disney movies, to your point, they do range over so many different types. I mean, you have the classic princess movies like Cinderella, Snow White. And then you go into, you know, movies that are based on more animals, you know, that being the focus, Lion King, Dumbo, and such. And then you get into movies that are sort of outside the realm, but really, really create some fantastic visuals. For example, if we go further back a bit, we have Monsters, Inc. Monsters, Inc. was, me, a bit of a departure from what Disney tended to do. But, man, for me, an instant classic. Was that one that you enjoyed?
Oh, I loved Monsters, Inc. It was so fun and cute and just Sully and, like, everybody It was. I felt like for a long time, a lot of the movies that were coming out, like, I just couldn't really, I wasn't interested in and it didn't grab my attention. But Monsters, Inc. was definitely one of them because I feel like it was one of the first kind of Pixar ones that really just made me laugh. I don't know. I liked the humor in it.
Yeah.
Especially.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the cast was fantastic. I mean, you can't put Billy Crystal and John Goodman into anything and it not be funny. I didn't even mind the sequels that came from it, which leads me to the film that I sometimes forget is a Disney film, but one that is an absolute favorite and one of those rare moments where the sequel, in my opinion, was just as good as the original, and that's Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, okay. Well, you have to.
Where he wrecks the internet?
Yeah, exactly. But
you know how
the
many
original...
people would be pissed if he really did that?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because the way in which the story is told. Yeah, you'll have to catch that. I won't give it away, but it's a fun one.
Okay.
But the original, you know, Wreck-It Ralph was so, I mean, it was, again, this way that Disney has of bringing together so many different, in this case, games, right? So many different visuals and so many different characters, and yet you still have this really complete piece of work that makes sense. They tell a great story. And again, they have the lessons that you learn from the movie. You have the moment where it gets a bit dark, and it follows that formula that consistently is successful when it comes to Disney films. And so, yeah, I always forget for some reason that Wreck-It Ralph is a Disney product as well.
That Sarah Silverman played her. She's so cute. And she kind of looks a little like her.
Yeah, I can see that.
And her little sassy attitude. I really love the movie.
Absolutely. No, that's one of those classic characters that I don't know gets enough attention, you know, when it comes to the Disney tradition, I guess, which is hilarious because when you see the second one, I won't give it away, but I think you're going to really enjoy it for the very reason you described earlier that, you know, the princesses didn't necessarily resonate with you, you know, in your childhood and so forth. I think you'll appreciate what they do with them because they do appear in the movie.
Oh, yeah, they're in it. That's right.
Yeah.
I saw a little snippet and it made me laugh.
Yeah, so I may have to have you back sooner than later so you can tell me what you thought because I hope you'll get to see it soon.
Okay, I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I really, really loved the first one, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. No, that's
I'm writing it down.
One. I'm looking over titles over the years, Sword in the Stone. Of course, Alice in Wonderland is a trippy experience. The Aristocats.
I love the Aristocats. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's those that I think to myself, man, why have I not seen that? Like The Rescuers. Like, there's no reason why I shouldn't have watched that yet.
The Rescuers from Down Under?
No, it's actually, I think there might have been a second one, but the original one is The Rescuers. And again, it's, you know, talking rats and stuff. So, you know, even as I was doing, you know, some research for our conversation, I thought, man, there's so many I haven't seen, which is kind of funny. It kind of reminds me of the conversation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I remember watching it as a kid and not really feeling like, okay, this is not what I'm used to. I enjoyed it more as an adult.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, very much so. Because it's about the music. It's about the visuals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I even sat through the sequel. It helped that I was in Vegas at the time because the Luxor Hotel was actually doing a screening of it as one of their special features. And so we went midday and watched it there at the Luxor with alcohol, and it really helped. So.
That's too funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, the whole Disney experience, like I said, is one that, you know, there's so much that can be shared. One of the things I know that for me is something I'm curious about when it comes to people in movies is, you know, if you could create, you know, your own film, if it's something that you could put your time to and create, and I'm going to make this a little bit of a challenging one, because I mean, how do you make a new Disney movie, right? But are there any particular ideas that you might think, hey, that would make a good Disney, you know, themed movie or something of the sort? Anything that you wish they would do?
I would have like the main character be like a teenage girl that can like go through portals or something cool. I don't know, like through mirrors. Anytime. I don't know. That's a really hard question.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah. That's such a good question.
With both of us coming from the roller derby world, I think there's probably a Disney movie somewhere in that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean,
all these little juniors that are starting out when they're like six, and they're whooping our asses.
I think if we got some folks together, we could probably come up with a script of a Disney roller derby themed film. It would have to be a musical, of course, and there would have to be dance numbers on stage.
There's so many people that would be all over that.
Seriously. Oh, man. Maybe we're onto something here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. Well, so one last question, just to kind of pick your brain on this whole Disney thing. Are there any Disney movies that they're go-to films for you? Like, you have a chance to kick back an evening to yourself to enjoy a Disney movie. Are there any sort of old standards that you'll always go back to?
I really like The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid, because it's not too sad. It's not, you know, like Tarzan and Lion King. You know, there's like sad parts in it. I really like Aladdin too.
Mm-hmm.
Is always a good one. Mulan. I really liked Mulan. Pocahontas. Gosh, there's so many.
Yeah.
I really liked Pocahontas too. I really like Toy Story. Gosh, like I said, it's really hard to just choose one. I can't do it.
And what I think Disney knows that. Yeah, for me.
I know they do.
Yeah, they're gonna just keep pumping these out. For me, obviously Ratatouille, that's a big one that I go back to a lot. Wreck-It Ralph is a big one. I relate to Wreck-It Ralph quite a bit simply because, you know, his whole issue in large part is his size. You know, that's what he's very self-conscious about. And as someone that, you know, sits at 6'4" and, you know, a lot of weight, I can relate to Wreck-It Ralph pretty well. But others that I love to go to, because like you said, there's several. I love Cars, the original one. And I also, when it comes to the classics, Jungle Book is definitely a favorite of mine. Gosh, let me think.
Jungle Book is a good one too.
Yeah, it really is. That was another one of those live action ones that for me just didn't translate comfortably. It was kind of weird.
I didn't watch it. I saw a trailer and it didn't hit home or anything for me.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
It's like it has to make an impact for me to want to see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Up. Up is another one that I like to go back to often.
Oh, it's so cute.
That's a sweet one.
It really made me think about being old.
Yeah. That's exactly
That's
the thought I had.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Little old man losing. I grew up in Seattle, so like I could, when I was watching that and he was like in his little house and there's just buildings going up all around, I'm like, I live like 8 blocks from the airport, so I totally felt I could feel for that old man.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, and before I forget, 101 Dalmatians is also a favorite of mine. Oh man, Lady and the Tramp. You're right. They just keep coming.
Oh like, yeah, Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah. So.
I love that. Oh, good. Hercules. Yeah. Hercules is a good one.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, which I'm sad I didn't mention already. Emperor's New Groove. I loved that movie. It was so funny.
It took me years to get around to watching that movie. Yeah, it took me forever to get around to watch it. And then I watched it one day, and I was like, why have I not seen this? This is hilarious. It is absolutely.
It is so cute.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know,
The Fox and the Hound
maybe
was a sad one. That was
one. Yeah. As we bring the mood down on that.
I know. I was looking at pictures of all of them, too, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That one.
There's no denying that Disney knows how to hit the emotional chords, that's for sure.
Oh, totally. They totally
do. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, for those who are listening in, I'm willing to bet a lot of folks have so many memories that they can tie back to these films, and that's why it's, I mean, we could talk about just about anything when it comes to Disney movies. And you know, I think this live action trend is going to continue. Obviously, Mulan next year.
Oh.
I hear Hercules is next on the list after that. It's just going to be the thing. You know, we just got to get with it and get used to it, I guess. But I'm hoping that there'll
be
something new somewhere down the road.
Some of them will be bad. Some of them will be good. Yeah. Some of them will be good, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know that I've yet seen the one that I think is going to be really, really great. So I do hope there's certain ones that they'll stay away from and leave alone. You know, I don't want to see,
like,
don't mess with Finding Nemo. That's it's got to stay a cartoon, you know.
That
it
would
doesn't
be
need
boring
to be live
to watch. I feel like that'd be
right.
Like, have you seen the oceans nowadays? They don't look like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
it would create the wrong impression. Gosh,
it'd be real life oil spills and all sorts of
right.
bad shit.
It would be
ocean
more
garbage.
Oh man, yeah. Someday they'll do Frozen. You know they will.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, you know, I just hope that they leave some of them as just cartoons because they, you know, it allows us.
What about Inside Out? Inside Out. If they did that movie as a real life, that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Who would play the mad guy, Danny DeVito or something?
Probably, yeah. That's who comes to mind.
A little angry man.
That's funny. Oh man, I guess time will tell as to who, you know, what movies are next and what's coming down the road. But you know what I've loved throughout this whole conversation as we've been talking about this, we get excited, you and I, and we kind of get back into that kid mode of remembering what these movies, how they impacted us. And, you know, I've been here with a smile on my face the entire time, just remembering and reminiscing. So that is the power of Disney films.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah.
I agree.
I hope down the road we can get together again and talk more about movies and stuff, because I have a feeling that we can pretty much pick any movie related topic and we'd be at this for a while.
Yeah. Just give me a holler.
Absolutely. Well, to all of those of you who have been listening into tonight's conversation, we've been talking Disney movies here on Reel to Reel. Anise, once again, thank you so much for joining me this week to talk movies and Disney films in particular. And don't forget, you have to watch what movie?
Oh, I'm going to watch Wreck-It Ralph, the new one.
The second
for sure.
One, absolutely. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Thanks again for being with me.
Yeah, thank you, Sergio. Have a great night.
Absolutely. You do the same. To everyone out there listening in, thanks so much for taking the time to check our show out again. We'll be back next week with another episode of Reel to Reel.